Welcome to Voicing Startups, where I, Colin Bournes, interview founders and operators changing the world through audio, voice, and conversational technology. This week's episode of Voicing Startups will be a little bit different. As opposed to me sitting down and interviewing a different company in the audio and voice space, I am actually going to be sharing with everybody an interview where the tables were somewhat turned. I was the one being interviewed, talking all about the world of audio and voice, but more from the lens of my day-to-day work, which is working with a thematic-focused venture fund with an interest in the audio and voice space. So the podcast that I was on is done by Nick Myers on the Artificial Podcast. So rather than mumble too much about this, I hope you guys enjoy this episode of the Artificial Podcast and Voicing Startups.
Colin, welcome to the Artificial Podcast. How are you doing?
Great. Thanks for having me on, Nick.
You know, my pleasure. I know you and I have kind of connected over the past couple of months here and have been talking about doing an episode for quite some time. So I'm finally happy we can carve out some time to do that, especially given all the different things that you're working on.
Yeah, we've definitely both jumped through a few different hoops. I'm happy we were finally able to find the time to make this happen.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm excited to interview you because especially with your work now with a voice-based venture capital fund specifically, I don't think I've had anybody to date on the show who's kind of been in that space. So I'm really excited to kind of get your perspective on a few things. And then, you know, just from one podcast host to another, learning more about what you're working on with your podcast. And I know your flash briefing has been very successful and a lot of people have given really positive feedback about that. So got some really interesting things we're going to talk about here. But how I always like to open things up is learning about how the guests who come on the show got started either in the AI or voice space. And of course, in your case, it's voice. So why don't you kind of open up the curtains into how Colin Bournes got started in voice?
Yeah, so I'll try and make this quick, but it goes back really to being really entrepreneurial as a kid and always being fascinated with both startups and also early stage investing, probably with some credit to Shark Tank and things like that. However, when I got to college, I didn't really have, you know, that technical background that people talk about with startups. And I figured my best path into venture was really to go the old fashioned way, you know, become an investment banker, do that sort of thing, get an MBA and hopefully find your way into a fund. But after being in school and realizing that path really wasn't for me, I figured I would try and find a way to add value in a way that I would actually enjoy on a day-to-day basis. And yeah, what I stumbled upon was, you know, if I could find a way to really understand a specific technology and add, like I said, add value to a fund in some capacity, that piqued my interest a lot more. And ultimately that led me to audio and voice. And when thinking of the best place to both go and learn and also build out a network, the first thing that jumps to your mind, or at least jumps to my mind, was VaynerMedia. And having been a fan of Gary for a few years now, it was really interesting and was something that I was really excited to at least try and do, you know? And so
yeah,
I ended up working as a financial operations analyst in VaynerMedia. And like you said, I do have a daily flash briefing. And while I was there, a way to sort of start different business conversations around the evolving voice space, that's why I started that flash briefing. And then flash forward about a year towards the last few months now, having built out that network, I was starting to have a lot of interesting conversations with founders and operators in audio and voice. And that's what ultimately led to me wanting to start this Voicing Startups podcast and really just bring more awareness to all these different really unique companies that are trying to solve different problems and create all brand new business models altogether as well. Super interesting stuff. And ultimately, my efforts and goals with the Voicing Startups podcast aligned mm-hmm. well with the venture fund I'm now working with called Voice Funch, like you said, that has a thematic focus in both early stage audio and voice startups. So yeah, that's sort of my path to now looking for investment opportunities with exciting startups in this space.
Yeah, that's a great story. And I feel like I've been getting more guests on recently who don't kind of follow the conventional path that I've noticed when it comes to winding up in either the voice or AI space. You know, specifically with the voice space, what I found is so many people are like, oh, I bought an Amazon Echo and I used it for the first time, myself included, and I just had the light bulb or epiphany moment where, which is why I think your story is interesting, because you started out in an industry that one would, you know, from the outside looking in, see as completely unrelated to this space, but it got you really in a weird way immersed in it, maybe a bit more than some other spaces would have in just a roundabout way, which I think is fascinating.
Yeah, and I think with any newer evolving space, you kind of got to be creative as well. There's not going to be some blueprint or article that you can find on a Google search that's going to be like, this is the way to get to your
right
your specific job of interest in this brand new evolving space. You know, there just really isn't that sort right. of thing. So you kind of got to take the bull by the horn sometimes.
Right. And I mean, talk about, you know, an initial experience coming right out of college for you, getting to work at VaynerMedia. And I know there's plenty of listeners on for the podcast here that, of course, have heard Gary Vee be very outspoken about his interest in voice technology and some other disruptive technologies. So I guess my next question is, how did your experience working at VaynerMedia help kickstart your interest in voice, if it did? I don't know if it did or not, but I'm just curious to see if your time working for an organization where I'm sure this was talked about or in some capacity, how that impacted you to this point.
Yeah. So just an initial disclaimer. Like you said, I was working in finance, specifically financial operations at VaynerMedia. So while I wasn't working specifically on a lot of the really interesting voice projects that have come out of VaynerMedia, it did give me an opportunity to really build a network specifically within VaynerMedia, and also get a chance to actually talk with Gary very early on. Mm-hmm. And if you've listened to any of his content, you see that conviction that he has for the voice space specifically, and that same sort of interest or passion was felt also in the little bit of time I got to talk with him. And so that's what really initially lit the fire for me to say, okay, I'm working in this very unique space. I'm getting access to very unique people, but what am I really doing to push forward or start conversations in this space that I have this interest for? And that's what honestly ultimately led to me starting that flash briefing. At first, I figured that was my best way to not only prove to myself, but also prove to Vayner and other people in this space that I really did have an interest to give back and sort of push the needle forward mm-hmm. in whatever way I could.
Yeah, that's interesting. So I really like that while you were there, you decided to kickstart your flash briefing, just like you said, to kind of show them that, you know, I have an interest in this space and I want to do more with it. So was that really one of the primary reasons you decided to start your voicing business flash briefing, or was there anything else that kind of went into you kickstarting that, of course, and now it's very successful?
Yeah. You know, I figured I just tried to think what is the unique perspective I might be able to bring to this industry. And having gone to school for finance and always having this interest, like I said, from an early age, in just early stage companies and ultimately changing industries, I figured the best way that I could really just start doing something in the space was to start these mm-hmm. conversations from that sort of business lens that I was so interested in. So it did kickstart me as a way to want to prove to Vayner, but really I was thinking before I was ever at VaynerMedia, how am I able to participate in this space?
Yeah.
It was just after, you know, not really trial and error, but really just sort of smashing your head against a whiteboard over time and being like, you know what, this is what I think I could do, at least as a starting point.
Yeah, because I know I have your flash briefing actually in my Alexa routine. So when I wake up in the morning, actually I have an Alexa in my bathroom. So while I'm like brushing my teeth and different things, I just run through my routine of flash briefings and yours always pops up. So I can attest to the really good content that you have when it comes to voice in the business space. And for those of you listening who have not activated Colin's flash briefing voicing business yet, I highly suggest that you do. And I really haven't had too many people on the show yet who have actually created and run a flash briefing with a really consistent cadence. So what are some of the biggest struggles that you face putting together a flash briefing, keeping it going? What are some of the hurdles and the struggles that you've dealt with so far with that?
Yeah. So honestly, I think that sort of goes back to me committing to participating in this space. I went through and I did some of Terry Fisher, as I'm sure some of the listeners on here are familiar with. He has this flash briefing course, and in that course, which is free and it's a really good resource, I highly recommend it. He mentioned the importance of doing something consistent, just given the nature of what a flash briefing is, or a daily microcast like that. And so really, I think my toughest thing was just that initial commitment to say, okay, yeah, this is something I am going to commit myself to do on Monday through Friday, no matter what. And ultimately, I haven't really had much struggle since then, because I truly am interested and passionate about this space. And my process is something I enjoy. I pretty much wake up, I go to the gym, I do my little morning routine, and then I sit down and I talk about some sort of topic that has caught my interest within the past day. So I try and keep it as fresh as possible and as top of mind and as I can. So it's something I've really just added into my routine and have come to really enjoy the process of.
No, that's fantastic. And I guess maybe on the flip side of that would have been some really positive, what are some positives that you've seen from doing the flash briefing, I guess, in terms of feedback or what you've learned personally? I guess, what are some really, some things that you've been able to identify that you've really been able to take away from doing this?
Yeah, I think what I really like about it is it's given me a way to not only give my sort of takeaway from different things that might be evolving in the space, but it also gives me a platform to then get feedback on some things I maybe don't have that strong of an opinion on, or I'm curious what other listeners might be thinking about for maybe some more general, me to sort of scratch the itch of different questions that I also have, not just necessarily me giving any advice or any of my two cents that may come from an article or a different piece of news.
Yeah, no, I think that's super valuable. And especially since you're doing it every day, I'm sure the more you do this and you're probably just learning more about the process that it takes to create this content, which for those who have not produced very short form audio content before, and I used to dabble a bit more with flash briefings, it can be tough to try and do something new like that every single day and do it very well. So I give you kudos for that. And I'm super glad to hear that you've had some of those takeaways so far from doing this.
Definitely. And to add one more little piece to that.
Yeah.
I would also say that a lot of the different things I'm talking about fall into very similar buckets that kind of span across this space that I've sort of targeted as specific pieces of interest for me. It just so happens that a lot of those buckets of interest just so happen to have new things changing on what seems to be a daily basis. So
pretty much,
I'd never find myself really trying to stretch to find something to talk about. A lot of times it might just be a slight variation of something I said 3 or 4 days earlier. It might just have some different little twist or a slightly different use case or a different angle. So it's just been, like I said, a really enjoyable process over time to sort of also see different trends and what seems to be interesting in this space.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And one thing I definitely want your thoughts on, since you are pretty much a serial flash briefing expert here because you do them so often. So I know there was some news that came out, I think, a month or two ago, maybe even a bit longer, that Amazon pretty much openly said that, oh, we're going to be placing a bit less of an emphasis on flash briefings. So do you think with that news that's going to impact flash briefings overall? And how do you think brands can, you know, ultimately use this to their advantage and still find value with it? And I really want your perspective on this just because you're involved so deep into it.
Yeah. So I think flash briefings and voice in general, they're both still really early, and you're going to benefit, I believe, whether you're a business, a brand, or whether you're a business or a brand who's interested in this sort of technology and what it has to offer, you're going to benefit by playing around early and figuring things out. So if you think about flash briefing specifically, maybe this isn't going to be the exact sort of platform that is going to result in some huge user base from your customers. However, it might be the next iteration of these flash briefings or these shortcasts, which I am completely bullish about, aside from whether it's a flash briefing, a Google cast, whatever the format of it is. And to also speak to that, I've seen many different very interesting companies that are approaching these sort of shortcasts from different perspectives. So I'm bullish on the short sort of micro content space. Whether or not the platform is through a flash briefing, I don't think it really matters for the content creator side. I think that we're just getting, anybody that is creating now is getting valuable reps for whatever this sort of short format content turns into in the future.
Right. I mean, to your point, this is pretty much the tip of the iceberg here with this type of content. And with it, almost seems like everybody's attention span is just getting shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter by the year. Mm-hmm. I think this is a really valuable time to start experimenting and playing with short form audio content like flash briefings to really condense what you're trying to say efficiently and effectively to get your point across. When I first started messing around with flash briefings myself, I almost tried to think of it as like the Twitter post of Alexa, because, you know, with Twitter, you have only so many characters to condense what you're trying to say. And same with the flash briefing, right? You don't want to go beyond like 2 minutes, 3 minutes and that, because people are wanting short form audio content. So I think you're right on the money with that one. But switching gears just a bit now to your podcast, what has it been like now producing your podcast that really is just solely focused on startups in the voice first space, if you want to dive into that a bit?
Yeah, like I said, I started having these interesting conversations with different startups, these different founders and people working there, pretty much because of my interest and just fascination with these early stage companies. And I figured, you know, I'm already having these conversations. I believe they're somewhat interesting. Why don't I try and see if other people find this interesting? And that's what ultimately led to the Voicing Startups podcast. And I really look at it as a way for me to have interviews with these companies, as a way to just make them just really drive awareness to other companies that might be in this space, whether there might be some sort of partnership opportunity, or it might be a business that wants a top of mind or a quick little inside look at how maybe a technology could work in their company. Or maybe you're an investor who is interested in the voice and audio space, but you don't have time necessarily to do a deep dive and you want to just get a quick takeaway. That's really what led to this startup podcast specifically focused on the audio and voice space.
Yeah, no, I think it's fantastic. And I remember, I think maybe the first time we actually connected and talked on the phone, I think you ran this idea by me too, because I was first starting to work on my podcast. And I'm like, you know what? I have not seen a single thing like that out there right now in the voice specific podcast space. And I remember telling you to go for it. So I'm super happy that you're able to jump in and do that. And I guess now that you've been interviewing some of these different startups, what is the temperature like right now in the startups, in the startup world, in the voice space? Like what kind of startups are there? How many, what are some things that you've noticed?
Yeah. We've definitely had no problem talking to new and interesting companies on pretty much a daily basis. There's
That's
new
great.
Companies. Yeah, there's new companies popping up. Like I said, what seems to be daily, and it's not just specific to, let's say, the Bay Area. It's really a global phenomenon. We're seeing companies from Israel, from India, from Australia.
Wow.
Yeah, and across the United States, really, and all really interesting companies. So, yeah, I think that's what's been specifically interesting so far. Is there really hasn't been any shortage of companies, and I think as it relates to like the more general venture community, VoicePunch itself is the sort of first of its kind, aside from sort of the legacy company funds that are in place, like the Google Assistant Fund, the Alexa Accelerator, the
right.
Alexa Fund, sort of those things. So VoicePunch is sort of the first of its kind in that right, which I think when you combine that along with also this podcast, has given us a really unique opportunity to connect with a lot of really interesting companies in this space, you know.
Yeah, what would you say has been your most interesting interview so far, or what has been one of the most interesting startups that you've been able to have a talk with so far?
Yeah, without giving too much as of right now, just because we are in diligence with some different companies,
yeah.
I would say what is one space that we are specifically interested in and bullish on is really insights and insights that are able to be taken away from meetings specifically. So you've seen companies that are able to take the different speakers in a conversation and then give you a transcription and actionable insights from that, and do some really, really interesting stuff with that information. So you're talking about voice, you're talking about AI, you're talking about all these different things combined into one that isn't necessarily something that might, or an application that might be the first thing that a lot of people think of when they think of a voice application, such as like an Alexa skill or a Google Action, but it's really taking a lot of different underlying, or a few of these different underlying technologies, combining them to create a really interesting and fascinating product.
Yeah, no, that sounds like there's some pretty interesting stuff out there, which I guess then kind of, sorry, I'm throwing all these questions at you, but I'm just kind of fascinated by just the whole startup space.
Yeah, you know, honestly, sorry to cut you off, but to go on another one, like they're also solving real problems with audio or with through voice. And one thing that I've talked about on my flash briefing a lot or really thrown around a lot on Twitter is this idea of empowerment through voice. And while, again, like voice doesn't touch everything. I mean, there's people that aren't right. able to speak, and I'm aware, but that's a different situation, but we can't disregard the empowerment that does come through voice.
Exactly. And
there's another company that's very interesting that's able to do live transcription at a rate that's just hasn't been seen before for deaf and hard of hearing people. That's able
great.
To just be, yeah. I mean, so you can be in a live meeting and these people that in the past either weren't able to interact because it was just too expensive, quite frankly, from an organization standpoint, or the quality of the transcription was lagging and just wasn't in that sort of real time to be meaningful. Like, so you're seeing use cases like that, if that doesn't get you excited, I don't know what will, you know?
Yeah. Wow. I'm still just kind of processing the one company you're talking about that is able to transcribe stuff for people who are deaf or hard of hearing, because I think all of us in the space can agree that accessibility and making so many different things easier for people because of this technology really is at the forefront. So it honestly makes me feel fantastic to know that there is actively startups out there working on some accessibility initiatives that I really think are going to really, you know, help people's lives and solve a handful of problems here. I think that's great. So what, looking ahead to the next year, what do you think it holds in store for voice technology, specifically for startups and really any company working in the space right now?
Yeah. I think with voice, just one value prop that has been proven is just the efficiency that comes with it. So whether you're a startup that is building some sort of product or you're a business that's looking to add voice in some capacity to your product offerings, I would say the best thing to do is really look at the different customers you're trying to serve and say, what are some of the current paths or the current actions they're taking or they're participating in? And then think of how can I use this new technology to add some sort of efficiency to their lives and use that as really a kicking off point, because really with any product, having some path or way to have actual data-driven results or decisions be made is key. And I think that the best way to actually get users in today's sort of place we're at with voice is by finding a way to drive efficiency for the end customer.
Absolutely. And that's one thing that I am a huge advocate of right now is people have to understand that, yes, we're very early on with the technology and it's evolving and it's great, but I think we've moved past that fad point. And, you know, if you're a brand or organization looking to deploy this, I mean, it has to solve a problem. It has to, like you said, create some efficiency, streamline a process. It has to solve a problem. And I've even gone as far as even having a couple of meetings with some different brands and I've told them, you know, I really don't think this works for you. I mean, some people may disagree with me, like, oh, well, every opportunity is a business opportunity. But if it doesn't make sense for the organization and it's not solving a problem, then it's not going to make them money. So what's the point of deploying that? I don't know if that's something that you've seen in terms of some of the startups that you've been interviewing, if they kind of have that similar mindset.
Yeah. I would say, yeah, definitely. You know, like I said, I think when people look at voice, immediately they look at the thing that has brought it to the forefront of everybody's attention, which is, the sort of Alexa and through the dot specifically, and these different smart speakers that are now really just across the country, that's brought it to the forefront of everybody's minds. But mm-hmm. from my perspective, I don't know if that's necessarily, I mean, there's just so much more to this industry than these smart speakers,
right.
as it relates to audio, to voice, to conversational AI, that I think we need to sort of come at it with a wider lens and really think of, the best ways that we can, create new products and, ultimately, like I said, better serve customers.
No, absolutely. I think that's a message that needs to be shouted louder and louder and louder across the room for anybody working in this space.
It makes sense too, right? Like I was having a conversation with Dave Kemp the other day, and he brought up this really interesting analogy where he was like, if you were designing an experience, pretty much, this isn't exactly quoted, this might be my sort of derivative of it. But essentially, if you were building some sort of experience for somebody or for some customer or a business, whatever it may be, and you realize that you have all these different technologies, is the first thing you're going to do to create this experience, go and grab, your clock or your radio clock off of the dresser and add the technology to that and say, okay, how can I best serve my customer through it? I mean, the what's really awesome about this is the fact that it's in all these different devices around us, and these experiences are starting to become ubiquitous, right?
Yep, absolutely.
So I think we just need to test ourselves and just try and be more creative with the different experiences that we're ultimately creating, given all these different devices that we have.
Yeah, no, I think that's an excellent perspective. So switching gears kind of one more time before we start to wrap things up, I really want to talk to you about what your experience has been like working for a voice-based venture capital fund here. Because I find that really interesting. And like you said, this what VoicePunch is doing is very unique compared to a lot of other funds out there. So, you know, what has it been like working for VoicePunch as a venture capital firm that really only invests in audio and voice technology startups? What, you know, and what has that been like working in it with all of this being so new still?
Yeah, definitely. I think this kind of goes back to how I got into the space. Like, it's definitely not the traditional path that someone would go to start working as an associate in a venture fund, you know. But really it ultimately just came from the network I was starting to create and the conversations I was starting to have, where it made sense for me to ultimately join the company where, like I said, my goal was to try and add value in my own sort of right. And my sort of way of adding value is by continuing to have these conversations, continuing to really just talk to more people. Like, I have the best job in the world. My job is to find and talk to as many interesting, awesome people that are using this technology to,
which is so cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's literally the best thing I could possibly ask for. So, my day to day, I couldn't ask for a better day to day. I really am just focusing on how I can create the best sort of content to, get the message of these startups out there and then talk to as many different people as possible, because that is sort of the asset that I bring to the company, I guess. That's a little mix, right? I do. While I do have that background in investment consulting and then financial operations, I definitely don't have as much of a skill set as Mark, my partner, and then some of the other venture partners that work with VoicePunch, or necessarily the typical 20-year software veteran sold three companies,
right.
Becomes the venture partner, you know. But I would say that should also, I think it can also be encouraging, because it does show that you can get opportunities like this. You just have to be able to clearly show where you can add value to an organization.
Exactly. And I think that's the case with so many different things, but I'm getting tongue-tied. It's especially important with something like this because of how new it is and because of the niche way I'm sure you have to go about just even talking with some of these companies and, you know, vetting people and filtering them through your process as a fund. So I think
And really to that, like that perspective, I think that's where we get an advantage too. Mm-hmm. Because given the fact that we're so focused on one specific place, it gives us this opportunity to really go. The analogy that we like to use is a mile wide and then 1,000 miles deep. So we really see a lot of different, we see a lot of different approaches to solve some similar issues. And I think that gives us an opportunity to really have a unique perspective on how to go about the right problems, I guess, for these different companies instead of doing the wrong things as opposed to that.
Yeah. And maybe kind of tying all this together and looking at this maybe a bit differently now, based on some of the stuff you've been working on, do you have any concerns when it comes to voice technology? Or I guess my question is, what is the biggest concern that you have when it comes to voice technology? If there's something you had to pick that concerns you or something that you think people should be on the lookout for or anything like that, what is the largest concern you have considering the technology?
Yeah, honestly, I think that we as people that are actually in the industry might not be taking privacy and security as seriously as we should. You know, a lot of time.
Good point.
I've struggled to find a way to put this into Twitter text or even into my flash briefing sometimes. But ultimately, I think that a lot of times when I bring up these conversations around privacy or security, people are ultimately like, "Oh, you know, history has shown us that the press is always scared of like the next technology, or they're scared of a new innovation and user behavior ultimately what people care about." And trust me, I am in that camp. I agree. People can go unplug their smart speaker when they want. But that doesn't mean that the media perception isn't going to inhibit or can't inhibit growth or impact decisions made by some of these large companies that are sort of pushing the needle forward at the highest level. And so I think that is should be of some concern. Also, when we're talking about looking at the past and how the media is always scared of like the next technology, well, the companies that are pushing forward these technologies or in like the past that were maybe creating these new technologies that people are like, "Oh, this is going to ruin society," all these different things. they weren't testifying before Congress at that point either.
Right.
So there is a lot more attention and scrutiny and there wasn't people literally running campaigns on the,
correct.
The basis of taking these things over, you know? So like, I don't think it's as easy as just dismissing it in the way that we have. I think there needs to be a lot more transparency on the front end with voice specifically. I just think there needs to be more of a conversation around that because you're not able to predict black swan events, but I don't want to manifest one into reality, but whatever, you know, I just think that we should pay a little bit more attention to it.
No, I wholeheartedly agree with you. I mean, even consider the past 2 weeks where there was that Google Action outage because that firm out in, it was in the Netherlands or Germany or somewhere. I'm trying to remember the VoiceBot article, but they discovered that those vulnerabilities with Alexa and Google Assistant where third-party app developers could, you know, create silent triggers that would invoke the voice assistant and could start recording. And, you know, I looked at that and I almost kind of chuckled because I'm like, well, I kind of figured something like this would happen at some point, but then you look at all the reactions to it and everybody's like, "Ah, I knew this would happen. This is terrible. How could they let this happen?" And I'm like, seriously? I'm like, seriously, you didn't think like something like this could happen? I'm like, I'm glad they caught it and I'm glad the issue is getting resolved, but this is a part of the bump in the road process that we have to go through as we're refining the technology and making it better. And I couldn't help myself. There is a local news station out here in Madison, Wisconsin. They posted an article about the recent, you know, we discovered these vulnerabilities with Alexa, Google Assistant, yada, yada. And there were these people commenting saying, oh, that's why I'm not purchasing the FBI speaker and all this stuff. And Colin, I could not help myself. I couldn't help myself. I normally do not engage with some of these people because I'll just go nuts, but I couldn't help myself. I wrote, I'm like, oh, that's funny. You purchase a smartphone and have had that for about a decade. Probably didn't know that's recording most of your conversations with silent triggers. So I guess you're going to have to get rid of the thing you used to type this Facebook post. I couldn't help myself.
Yeah, that's the user behavior thing that's hard to argue with when it comes to privacy. So that's pretty funny.
Exactly. So, but no, I agree with you completely. I think there needs to be more of an open discussion about privacy. For me, it's more of the transparency of the data and where all that's going, but we could probably spend a whole podcast episode on just talking about that. So kind of tying everything together here as we wrap up, I always, when I do guest interviews, I always end on this question. What is one thing that someone can do today to begin leveraging either voice technology or AI, either personally or within their business or both?
Yeah, so I think from the perspective of the business, we've touched on it in this conversation a little bit that it's hard to really understand because it can vary so much industry by industry, business by business. But the best way to figure out, I believe, is to start talking to customers. If you're lucky enough, like if you have a business in place, talk to your customers and figure out a way that you can drive efficiency in some simple capacity to start, and then use that as a kickoff point. That's where I think I've seen the most success and a good, at least starting point to getting into this space.
I think that's absolutely excellent advice. The best way to start is really, really analyzing a simple situation. And I think that's excellent advice to give people at this point in time. So what are some of the best ways that somebody could reach out to you if they wanted to contact you about really, I guess, your podcast, Flash Briefing, the work you do at Voice Punch, anything like that?
Yeah, definitely. The best place to kind of get the consolidated version of all that is on my Twitter at Colin Borns. So that's CollinBorns. And then you can find the podcast at voicingstartups.com, the Flash Briefing at voicingbusiness.com. And then if you are working on any sort of startup or interesting company in this space, go to voicepunch.vc and send us your deck, and we'll find some time to have a conversation.
Excellent. Well, Colin, thank you so much for taking the time to share your knowledge about some of the stuff that you've been working on. I think we had a fantastic conversation, and I definitely know we'll be chatting soon. So,
definitely. Thanks for having me on, Nick. This podcast is sponsored by Voice Punch VC. Voice Punch is a venture capital fund that is focused on voice-driven and voice-connected technology. So if you are a company or an entrepreneur that has a product that is in this sort of space, much like a lot of the different companies that I am interviewing, then you should reach out to the team by going to voicepunch.vc.